Town Ruling Committee meetings for January 4th, 2011, come to order. Please turn off our silenced electronic devices. Mr. Lynn, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call roll, please.
Councilmember O'Meara.
Here.
Councilmember Bushwell.
Here.
Councilmember Abraham.
Here.
Councilmember Andre.
Here.
Councilmember Kershaw.
Present.
Attorney Acosta.
Here.
Mayor Nor.
Here. At this time, I would like to ask the council to amend the agenda so that we can hear from our parish president and his chief assistant on the relative to drain rule of Ms. Bushwell.
Second.
Second, Ms. Lynn, roll call vote.
Councilmember O'Lynn.
Yes.
Councilmember Andre.
Yes.
Councilmember Bushwell.
Yes.
Councilmember Abraham.
Yes.
Councilmember Kershaw.
Yes.
All right. Jason, either you or Peter's got the floor. Let me preface this. I know for a fact, we had that terrible rain in July of 2010, and I know for a fact that there's a lot of things going on in the drainage business, not necessarily inside the city limits of Brule, but the things that are going on outside the city limits of Brule have probably more impact on us. And, you know, I talk to Pee Wee and Jason every now and then when we have functions together. And I thought it'd be a good idea, since it's approximately 6 months, if they came by and gave the town council and the people in the audience an update on what's going on, and so that you will know that really the government, our parish government, has not been sitting still with this drainage problem. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jason. And, yeah,
thank you, Mayor Norman. And we're going to go through a little short presentation. It's about 4 or 5 slides, and then I'm going to turn it over to the parish president. We have some pictures. What we're starting here is just kind of give you guys just an outline of drainage improvements and considerations that we discussed with the mayor. We, of course, everyone here knows about the Tonton Canal and some of the problems related to it when there's heavy floods and heavy rains. We also talked about the parish canal to the intracoastal, basically from the intercoastal bridge all the way back to Morley. We also talked about possibilities of creating certain spillways on the west side of Parish Canal. That's on the Sinclair property. And what that would do is, during times of high water, would actually act as a spillway and pull some of the water out of Parish Canal, relieving some of the pressure of some of the other areas. We also, when we're talking, is Sinclair lateral ditch to the, it says Emily Drive, that's actually Live Oak Drive, South Ditch relocation. As most of you know, down Live Oak on the south side, there's two ditches. I call it one ditch, and Joey, help me out if I misspeak here, but the other subdivision right by Live Oak, water actually comes parallel and then turns back into Live Oak, adding additional water onto the south side of Live Oak. So we talked about it. Instead of turning that water back to the south side ditch on Live Oak, actually taking it straight to the parish canal to relieve some of the pressure on some of the lots on the backside. And again, Mayor Norman and...
Well, you're just going to tie it into the main ditch west of Live Oak. There's nothing existing that goes to the parish canal to hook that
ditch. That's correct.
To.
We'd take it.
You would just bring it back in where the ditch that crosses the cane field. You would just take it to that ditch.
We would take and actually take another ditch from there all the way straight back to the parish canal, I think, is one of the things we would do.
Yeah, but why not the ditch going to the parish canal along Longstone Road?
Yeah. Well, we didn't discuss that one.
No.
If it needs to be cleaned and stuff, we'll go ahead and take care of that also. When we talked about just running pretty much straight, cutting the like a big U out of the ditch, it would be going straight.
And you know, where we've talked about before behind Alice Ramon's house, that water.
The last thing, it comes back around,
ends up at the same place.
You just going to make it straight.
Just straighten it out.
So you split
the water there. Part of it will go to Alice and part of it will keep it. It'll just relieve it all. And what that'll do is it'll help the people around Rosenhan that'll lower the water backs up into their area. They don't really get flooding per se, but the water comes back up and it goes up when it gets high in that ditch.
We also talked about the possibilities of Sinclair, another additional Sinclair lateral ditch that Tonton can have to relieve some of the pressure off the Tonton. And of course, most of you know, or all of you probably know, that during the last heavy rainfall we had, we actually had water crossing LA-1in Brutley, which is the first time that I've seen it in my lifetime. But we talked about working with the state in the future, possibly adding some additional culvert capacity underneath LA-1 there. But of course, we want to take care of the west side, take care of the Tonton side before we, you know, begin to look at moving additional water through additional culverts on the underneath LA-1. This is some of the improvements that we currently have underway. This was within the last 6 months since we've had this the heavy rainfall. We've been removing approximately, some places, approximately 3 feet of siltation removed from the parish canal. Where we started from the Bubba Phillips property, working our way back this way, working our way south. Reason we did that is because of our boom capacity that we have on our excavators. We can get almost about to Emily Drive, and then as the parish canal gets wider, we need to have our drag line, put our drag line in business. So in our budget this year, we've actually included expenditures to get our drag line up to speed to where we can then do some additional siltation removal all the way to the Moreland area. Again, we've talked with the mayor and Sinclair in the form about rerouting that lateral ditch we were talking about earlier. And again, I put Emily Drive on the Y instead of Live Oak, but I guess we've been spending a little time in the Emily Drive area, so it's fresh on my mind, but in the Live Run. And actually, that ditch that you're talking about, Shane, it turns to the Emily Drive on this Hunt's property at the end of that. Okay. This is some of, that's some of the immediate things that we wanted to address, and some of the things that we felt like we could do within our own resources within the parish. But also we have some additional funding sources. That what we did back around March of last year, we had to apply for what they called LRA Gustav Eich recovery dollars. And what we did is you had to put a list of projects that you were looking to do, but it had to be hurricane or hurricane related projects. At that time, we didn't have anything as far as the Tonton in this area addressed, because that was prior to this big rain event that we had. We had some other items and so forth, but we've been able to amend that parish LRA grant application and been able to include the Choctaw Basin drainage watershed, which is what we've been talking about as part of this study. So what we'll be doing is looking at a drainage analysis, which is going to evaluate the current conditions that we have, but also there's going to be proposed solutions with increasing the flood storage areas. Again, this type of drainage study, they use various models and simulations to where they can predict, you know, if the parish canal is at a certain level, the intercoastal is at a certain level, and you get a 3-inch rain versus a 4-inch rain. So some of the things that will help us better determine where we can more efficiently spend taxpayers' dollars, where we need to be, instead of just going sticking a bucket in the ground and start digging. Where does it make the most sense for us to actually be doing something?
I know y'all resized some culverts in Lindale.
Yes.
But on this half of Front Brewley, we got the main drainage ditch, got 36-inch on this side of the highway, and it's trying to get out of an 18-inch to get to the cooling. What about resizing that culvert?
Where is that at?
Right over here.
Under the railroad.
If you walk on Gleason Street after heavy rain like we had, we had over knee-deep water in the streets in that subdivision. And that is probably the deepest water within the town limits. You know, the positive part is, with the newer restrictions, the houses are built much higher than some of the ones that got water in it, but that probably had the deepest water of any street in Brutley. Yeah.
What street was that again?
Gleason. The subdivision behind the lines then.
Gleason and all that.
Marbury, Gleason.
They had this to it. East St. Francis had water over it too, and it almost flooded my house down in Riverbrook.
Yeah, well, that what the problem is there, is that the culvert crossing under the railroad tracks is 18 inches. You know, and Wayne's called them, and you know, we really don't get much of a response.
Yeah. I mean,
we'd
be glad to.
There's a huge cross drain there. I think it'll take care of it, but it's
just a culvert under the
culvert. It's
the tracks. One in front of Sonic.
Under the tracks.
Yeah, right in front of Sonic. Right. When it goes under the tracks.
Very obvious. It's like a little bitty old thing. You know, but we can't get anywhere with the railroad. I don't know what y'all can do. I think any help would be appreciated.
You can do it. You got to go through the process.
Yeah. Like, so, first thing is find a person you can talk to twice. That doesn't happen. Anyway, go ahead. I didn't mean to.
This is some of the things when we do these studies, when we hire the firm to actually do the studies for us, that we're going to, you know, have them consider as part of it. You know, of course, consider widening Tonton Canal, especially where it is the Parish Canal from that area. I was actually, when we were out there, I guess, about 3 or 4 months ago with the mayor and Lorraine, I was actually surprised at how narrow it is actually at the Parish Canal.
That's the biggest it's ever been.
Yeah, but it's still... And then we also, that we'll ask about the consideration of any type of detention retention concept. I know you guys have a detention pond here in town of Ruley. Is there, you know, can we expand on that with the Tonton and other areas? Again, the spillway that we had mentioned, actually taking some of that water, doing heavy water, heavy peak water times, peak flood times, and diverting into a spill, into the spillway, into the Sinclair property. And when the water comes down, it actually drains back into the Parish Canal. That's one of the things we like to explore. And then, of course, another type of diversion, I call it the Tonton diversion, but another, basically another lateral canal that takes you straight back to the Parish Canal. And then, of course, the additional cover capacity. And the reason I put that last is, again, I think there's other areas that we want to address on the west side before we get to pushing additional water from the east to the west, like in that order. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to the parish president to go through. We've got, you know, several pictures that he'd like to go through.
Yeah. This is, it's probably hard to see. I don't know if we could...
Why don't you use that pointer there?
You got a pointer? I got it. This is the Brule sewer pond, okay? And so this would be the Tonton Canal where it comes down. This would be the... That Emily Drive, that's the Emily Drive Canal. This is the North Ditch on Reed's property, and this is Riverside. And this is Lindale up in this area, right up in here, I guess. And of course, back, that's where the Tonton and Brew is up in that area. This is what we're going to include in that study area that we proposed in a grant for that LRA money. So it's going to be studying it, this whole thing. You know, we got some preliminary prices on these things, and they're running somewhere around $40,000 is what it's going to actually cost us to do that. Whenever we cross a railroad track, you know, like a resizing covers on a railroad track, the first thing the railroad wants in the application is you got to have an engineering firm do a draining analysis to prove that you need to make bigger covers and stuff. So that's step one, and so that process could cost you some money, and so it. You don't necessarily need a detailed study like we're going to be doing here, but when we had to put the covers up at Lindale, that was part of the process. So that's probably the key thing to get it moving. And then, of course, they want their money for their permits and such on, you know, and they have a lot of requirements. We were very fortunate in the one we did in Lindale. We put a lot of pressure on them, and we had been working on this, I guess, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years. We had already did a drainage analysis, so we went back and changed it up, and then we had to re-modify the application, and so that's why it kind of went as fast as it did. These are some pictures of what we're doing. That's back of Sun Plus, you know, the Bubba Field property. We digging another canal, actually widening one out and put some new ports in it, so that's probably the... It was real dry. That was after that rain we had in July, and we saw some area that we needed to improve. Because they had water that crossed the LA-1 up around Walmart and the furniture store and, you know, around Bowie Lane where it crossed. Now, the state in their study, they plan on putting 4 36-inch pipelines across on the LA-1. They say we have enough capacity on the railroad track already, but we may need to add one later on. But we need to make sure that the canals behind the track are capable of handling that water and it starts coming through the highway a little quicker. So that's what we're doing. We're kind of getting ahead of the game on this. In the state's process, they also showing the need for another pipe crossing somewhere around Brule High School to Sinclair up in that area. But what we're going to do is we're going to wait till we finish that study to figure out where it's going to be you know, where it's going to work the best. You know, we kind of flexible where they can put the highway bore, but we got to match it up with a railroad bore and probably a new ditch in Sinclair. So we've been talking to Butch about these things and trying to get some of these little things worked out. Of course, the state started this project at the same time that we started ours. You know what I mean? So they just about finished their study, and so he said it'll probably be out in June. It'll be started bidding sometime June, July. So it may go to construction sometime around the end of the year, you know, to have some more drainage under that canal, under the railroad. Next slide. And that's that same ditch, you know, we just a little further along. We shape them. It's a lot of dirt. Some of that dirt we have to move twice, and so it's a long, slow process when you get in that. That's the Dow warehouse you see in the background, the big warehouses over there. So this is, like I said, back to Sun Plus area. Okay, then. This is the Parish Canal, and this would be behind, say, like Riverside, American Way, and some of those areas. We average taking 3 to 4 feet of this slush. We go till we get a hard bottom. Then we start, you know, once we reach a hard bottom, we take it at the grade. So we've done probably from up at Bubba Phillips' property all the way to the north of the Reeds property. We've done this. We still have some dirt to go spread out, but that's part of it. And we have a couple slides on that you can show those, Debbie.
Y'all just putting the ball on the bank and spreading it?
Yeah, and we got to spread it out, you know, and kind of do some things. What we do is we go through and we kind of make a little dike, you know, to hold the water back while we dig. What we did is and you saw in that previous picture where the ditch didn't look quite so wide. But what we did, we dug out the existing, then we came back, we started over again at the end, and we started digging wide the sides a little bit. And as it gets a little dry, we go back and we dress them up, and then, you know, it's just a long process. We probably were very fortunate on the weather this year. We were able to get back there, and it was the canal bottoms were dry. And so we did a lot of work. Stayed there like 90 days, I guess.
Yeah, back up one picture. I'll say something that I don't think a lot of people understand. If you take the area of this right here, you would think that during the rain that you take this area times the amount of water that would fill that area, and that's how much additional flow you get. But that's not true. You get a lot more flow than that, because from this point here to the surface of the water is a certain amount of pressure right here at this point. If this thing is that much deeper, then from the top of the water all the way to the bottom, the pressure on that water right here is not double, it's more than double. So the velocity of the water at the bottom is going a hell of a lot faster than the velocity right here. So the velocity of your ditch increases tremendously, not just the capacity, it's the velocity and the capacity. So for this much depth, you don't get this much more water. You get this much more water times 1.5 maybe. So when this thing here, I mean, this is our lifeblood. This canal here, everything goes there. Almost there. The things that we care about over here go there. So deepening that, getting that muck out of there is a big, big deal. You know, big deal. Yeah, speed.
Y'all got the truck to sell out when you get to the wooded part. Y'all just going to push back over the hill and clean it up?
Well, we, you know, in maintaining the wetlands, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to have to go on top of that hill and clear out all the trees and stuff, and we will kind of make a barricade with the tree, and we can put our dirt on top of the hill where it runs up against the tree. That way it don't run into wetlands, and so we,
right.
We'll get a mitigation.
Well, I know where y'all done the work. The whole north bank is clean, and you can just lay it out there.
Where the heck would flood?
Crawfish pond.
When we get to the crawfish pond, we gonna have to jump on the other side of the canal as much as we can, because there's a limestone road, and you know, we can't put all this mud that we're digging out here on the limestone road. So what we do, we'll put it we'll be on the east bank, and we'll work that as much as we can. And then we may have to rent one of those big trucks, you know, on tracks. So you see these big old huge truck hold maybe like 40 yards that with the big old tires and stuff. You know, you can't put it on the highway, but they good for moving dirt from there to a place. So we may have to get one or two of those when we get in some of that area. I don't know what you call them.
I call them Euclid.
Yeah. But the mayor's right. This extra capacity is kind of like if you've got a cupboard and you just look out at a 24-inch cupboard and it's half full, well, all you're getting is what's the equivalent to maybe like a 12-inch pipe, maybe a little bit bigger if you do the math. But you know, that's all you get. But if that whole pipe is clean, you get the whole volume, you know. And so instead of moving maybe 10 cubic feet per second, you're moving, you know, 20 or 25 cubic feet. So it really is a big factor when, you know, engineers determine the runoff on these things, cleaning those canals. And it's filtered up like that all the way to the canal, to where it hits the intercoastal canal. And you know, we still have probably, I say, a mile and a half or better, maybe closer to 2 miles from when we stopped till we get to the intercoastal. So we got a long way to go.
You probably got a mile just on the Sinclair plant, man. You got a mile ahead.
Yeah, it's a good bit. Okay. But this shows how we widen it out. That first picture she just had showed it was an hour, and then we even widened the capacity a good bit more. And that's pretty much the same thing. We get a little further down. This is what it looks like from the Reed's property, looking across, you know, to that we right. I guess we getting on the north end of the crawfish pond, I guess, you know, in that area. But you know, they dressed it up good. You know, you can see we had to, you know, take a few trees down. We got them piled up there, so we'll burn those trees and try to keep it. You know, when we work with the landowners, you know, it's very hard to get permission, so we like to do a good job and, you know, kind of put his property in actually better condition than what we got there, you know.
Can you just put it on pipe runs? It's a right of way in.
Yeah, they let us do that, and that's what we did in some of those spots. That's just another picture. It's a little blurry, but it shows you we got to keep making these little dams as we go, keep the water from, you know, so we don't have to work in the water. We'll pump that water over those little dikes that we do. Okay. That's just another picture, the same thing, you know, another view of it. You can see how dry the canal was back there. There's actually no water. We dammed it up in the front to keep the water from running back as we dig, and we just taking that dirt out as we go. We probably have several crews on this thing, you know, working in with dozers and tricos and stuff as we go. This was the, I think this might have been a December rain a few years ago. This wasn't the July 25th rain, but this cupboard, it looks like it's got a lot more capacity, but actually that cupboard was put in on an angle where the full volume is coming out the backside of the track. But it just, you know, couldn't, because the on the angle, it just don't look like it looks like it's got room to grow, but it doesn't. We actually put another pipe on this side up. This is kind of before and after pictures, but we put this one up there for. But you notice the banks still got a lot of water capacity in those banks. This is in Lindale there, right across from the car wash. Okay. This is what we finished. This is the pipe that we added. We had two 48s coming across. We added a 48, and it's kind of on an angle going back, kind of between the car wash and I guess that's Lindale Street. Get what they call that, Frisco Street. Go to the next one. And of course, this is Formosa Plastic. It has these brine water lines. Like, actually, this water line was all the way up here, you know, about midway to coverage when we first started. So we lowered it to the bottom of this cup. The reason why we couldn't get any lower is because when the boring contractor came in, he poured a slab to do his work on. He poured probably about a 30-foot by 12-foot slab on in the bottom of this ditch right here, you can see, and it was about 14 inches below the bottom of that pipe. And so that was a 12-inch pipe, so it's just kind of sitting on top of that concrete slab, and that's why without that, we probably could have got a little lower. But that's the backside of the track, looking east. And this is the same view, except, you know, from the other side, you know, you can see how much wider we dug. It's just in the retention capacity, we've added a great deal of retention capacity that wasn't there before. Because all we had is one pipe coming down right here, you know, now we got two pipes. And so what we did is, that's a 72-inch pipe, and we added a 72-inch pipe. And so it ought to take a lot of water out of there. Okay, yeah. And that's what it looks like standing on a track looking west towards the woods, you know. You can see how much wider the ditch is now. And we had to taper it off, you know. And like I say, these guys, Mr. Reed in particular, we can't say enough how gracious he was. Every time we asked him, look, we need a little bit more property, a little bit more property. So, you know, we cut his property probably from right here all the way over there, you know. And so, you know, he's really... It was great to work with it, and he's continuing to work with us as we do the Emily Drive on the north side, and we're working on that project now. Good then? Okay, that's it. And that's what we've been doing, you know. A lot of times today, nobody can see. But to kind of let you know what we did talk about when we met with the engineers in that spillway. When the Tonton Canal comes out, and when that water's all high and it's really blowing hard, well, we talked about it, putting a series of big pipes, maybe four or five, you know, 48-inch pipes or something like that. And when that water gets up in the canal, it'll go into the woods. And it'll put it shit back in the woods. And then when the canal, when the level drops, it'll drain it right back out in the woods. So it gives it a place to go. But in talking with the engineer, one of the things that kind of hit home to me, he said that digging that Parish Canal all the way back, you know, in doing all the work we did, or that we plan on doing, you probably won't have as much benefit to the people up in front, particularly in the Benzul area, in those areas, as we would if we could just widen out or put some retention pond up towards the front, widen out the Tonton Canal, and or even put retention pond or something, because you get a better effect, you know, or you get the bigger bang for your money, is the word he used for it, you know, because that water still has to get all the way to the back, you know. But once you get to the back, it's going to be okay, but it'll build up before it gets back there and starts to get no help. So that's kind of what he left us with. I did talk to Butch and, you know, about the little deal back to Live Oak, and he said as soon as the former, you know, finished grinding, we can set up a meeting. Right. So, hopefully we get that done next week. Sometimes the informants, when they finish drying, and they hard to catch for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Any questions, be glad to ask.
Pee-wee, I have a question. Right by my house, by Wayne Knox's house, the culvert squeezes down, and I don't know what size it is, but I do know that the water swirls and just washes out there trying to get out. And I got water in my house this July and during the rain, and I had to change my floors and all. But that's me and my insurance company. But I think that's one of the problems that we have, is that cupboard is just small. They're right behind Pam Rose, where Wayne Knotts and Pam Rose property comes. Mm-hmm. He had cupboards put down years ago, and I think that's one of the problems, because the water just swirls around trying to get out, and it can't.
Is that what we're looking? The building was over the canal.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that we built two. There's two of them over the canal for sure. I mean, at least Wayne had right in St. Mary's. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if it's something we need to do there or try to do there, we certainly take a look at it.
Well, you know, I don't have all the surveying data necessary, but I can tell you that if the water level in the Tonton Canal is lowered by some of these fixes that we're talking about, I'd want to see it after that rather than dig out all those culverts right now. Because I think what you have is a little or no drop between the level of the Tonton and where y'all live.
Yeah.
And we got to get that to drop.
Yeah.
It's all one big picture.
But all of that is covered, isn't it?
Man, yeah, it's covered, but I don't have the engineer to prove it, but the Tonton, if we improve that, get the water back there faster, I think the water would get out of there a lot faster. If you go up on the highway, where those double cross drains are,
uh-huh.
I mean, it's piled up and swirling there too, because it can't get across the road fast enough. There's not enough drop between the top of the water there
right.
and the top of the Tonton coming.
Yeah,
it fills up. You know, the thing, it fills up fast.
Yeah.
And that's a function of it being able to get out. So.
But you all will look into that?
Yeah.
Pee-wee?
Okay.
When we do the study, yeah. you know, we'll we'll have some public hearings, and, you know, and we'll come back around. We'll host some public meetings, you know, probably in you know, probably in the Brule area, you know, or maybe we may host them up in Port Allen. I don't know exactly what we can do, but
yeah,
to try to get the input to make sure that we, you know, we got everybody counted. If your house was marked and we made a note on it that you got water in your house,
mm-hmm.
we have all those in color on a document that, you know, and that's part of the study that God can, you know, take in consideration all those and see what we can do to leave those.
Thank you.
Pee-wee, you know, we're looking at a lot of volume of water, you know, on this end, going that way. But when you get to the intercoastal, just north of the train bridge, they got that cut. You know, the volume of water that's coming from the north end of the parish probably affects that a lot, too. And y'all will look at the amount of water, say, going down by a park in the Choctaw, getting in a coastal there, because you get a velocity there, and you add to the problem in the intercoastal. You know, kind of like by Choctaw is completely silted up, which for the last 100 years diverted a ton of that water, but now it doesn't probably divert any, and it looks like the parish canal.
We, you know, that's a much harder fix.
Oh, yeah, well,
you know, that's
you just can't drive over there in a truck and do it either. But yeah, it did divert a lot of water.
Let me tell you, I guess it was about 5 years ago, maybe a little less than that, Congressman Baker was still congressman at that time. Well, Iffelville, West Baton Rouge, and Pointe Coupee, we put up $30,000 to do a study. The study was geared up to kind of get a preliminary, you know, basis, and it got the three parishes working together. And that got us about $1 million, you know, a grant that we got with the through the USDA. And so what we're fixing to do is we got a tri-parish, we call the Upper Terrebonne Basin Project. And it's to address the things in the canals, the siltation, and kind of put together a work list, you know, that these are some of the things that need to be done. For our water to flow better, we need to probably go down at, you know, below Jack Miller's and through Pigeon Area and stuff and clean out some of those bayous and canals and stuff, because the same way that the ditches up here won't drain if our canals are stopped up. And so, you know, we got to take care of it downstream in order for it to work better upstream. And I think that's part of what we're going to do. We're going to identify some areas that we need to work on and try to get it done fast. But that's what this study is going to do. That we're working on. In fact, we already signed an agreement and the study is actually underway. The tri-parish deal with it.
Good deal. Pee-wee, one other question. There's a lot of growth in the canal, grass and weeds and all of that. All of that stuff. Are you all planning on cleaning that out some?
Well, some of these grass and some of the growth, you know, depending on what they are. You know, in these biologists are telling them they're actually good to keep erosion, you know. So we try to, you know, like, keep certain grass in there. But you know, sometimes it does, you know, it kind of, we have a little slide in the group. So we'll take most of it out. Now, when we go through and we clean out a ditch, we usually take it all out, the grass and stuff. And then, but, you know, after a while, in fact, they did a workshop where you could actually make a little experiment and you could put water in a cup and you could watch it run out. Water, you know, and you could just see the Mississippi River when there was no controls on it. You know, that water meandered side to side, and it's natural to do that, particularly in like a canal. You see those canals, and that water, it'll make a little trail all through the bottom of that, you know. And so some of these grasses are good, you know, and we need to get the certain, you know, type of grass that we need to grow in those things that we do some selective spraying to keep those grasses growing. But yeah, when it gets clumped up, we'll take those out. And we try to cut them 2-3 times a year, you know, if it's dry enough and we can get around pretty good, you know, to kind of keep them going.
Well, we appreciate y'all coming out. I remember in July, there was a big meeting at the cafeteria, I guess it was, and there was a lot of pressure to, we want something done now. Well, I believed at the time, and I know Pee-wee took a lot of heat, but the right way to do it is to do it the way Pee-wee and him are doing it. Get the right information from the right people and study it and then just go for the things that do the most good. And you know, there's things that are going on now and things that we're looking at doing in the future, and we always appreciate what the parish does for us, and we've always had a great working relationship. We appreciate y'all coming out.
And just one other thing, you know, we have similar situations in other parts of the parish too. You know that. Yeah. You know this is not our only part of the area.
Believe it or not, there are other parts of the parish.
Shane is talking about, you know, draining, you know, this side of Brulee and stuff. Well, that puts a little more water in the Coolie Canal, which goes all the way back out. So we look at addressing that, similar to cleaning out, you know, this like we're doing on this parish canal back of Brulee. It needs to be done. You know, there's also in our LRA money, we have some money in for drainage improvements on the north end from when we get around the interstate, you know, that the old Choctaw Canal, the old Parish Canal, and it comes across the interstate around 415, and then it parallels the canal for 8 miles. And so what we try to do is dig a diversion canal straight to the canal and get that water out a little quicker, but we got to go through the engineering and do all that stuff too. So we're working over there to try to solve some of their problems too. So it's a lot of stuff that we have. But we're going to continue working on it.
Good. Well, thank you very much for coming out. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Okay. The next item is minutes of the regular meeting of December 13th. There's a copy in your package. If there's any changes, we'll make them in. Consider less next time. Committee reports, Public Works, PB&M just went over that drainage stuff. The last time we talked about aerators, the vendor had been sent a letter and said, you come get your aerators or fix them. Well, he went and bought some brand new stainless steel pontoons for them. We put them in the water and they float great. They really, really do good. Unfortunately, we lose power back there at the pond for whatever reason, like a branch falls on the wires or something. The motors are not designed to bleed off the moisture, so the motors burn out. Well, we got three areas with three burnout motors, so we got another note to him to come out here and take care of it. And he talked to Wayne again today. I don't understand how. It's nothing but trouble. But anyway, we're going to get it eventually. They're not working right now, though. There's no motors. They're all three of them burned up. So we'll move on that later. Planning and zoning, minutes of the December 15th meeting are in your package. And we have three items, four items that came out of it. The first one is final plat of map showing subdivision of lot, blah, 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 for Joseph Burgoyne and Blanche Heck Dupuy. Basically, you can look up there, what Joe is doing is he's purchasing some property from Ms. Blanche, and that's at the end of Tullier Street, and he is subdividing the property using the section of the code that says a lot not fronting on the street. You'll see on this portion right here is the part that's dedicated to the town for sewage and access, and we have gone over it, Wayne and I have gone over it, as far as we're concerned, it meets all the requirements, and it's a beautiful piece of property, and it will be he's going to build one house in here, right in the middle, I think, and so administration has no problem with it. If there's any questions or comments, he's so here.
Is that a driveway to give him access from the Alcala
right here?
Side?
Yeah, all of this would be access servitude right here. And Joey, you either bought or you are buying this property right here. This,
yes, sir.
This shaded in?
Yes,
sir. Yeah, that's why it has you and Ms. Blanche on it.
Right, yes, yeah. Sir.
So if this plat is approved, then that's what's going to happen. Any questions or comments from anyone?
Next week
we vote on it, but it'll be Monday. Oh, by the way, I want to apologize to everything, especially the council and all the people that I told it'd be Monday night. Did not realize I'd be out of town. I asked them to move the meeting to tonight. I hope it didn't cause anybody any inconvenience. That's the way I can't trust me to make Caroline reservations 6 months ahead of time. All right, we'll go to the next item. Map showing subdivision of the existing Cyril Mook estate for CG Mook. Basically, it's Miss Ethel's house is right here. This is East St. Francis, this is the River Road, and what they're doing is subdividing the property to create another lot here. This little jog in here is just to get enough square footage in the lot to get a 10-foot setback right here, but basically, there's going to have to be a house built right here. And Mr. Lambert here?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to speak?
Sure.
Why don't you come up to the microphone so we can get it on the recording?
And I had Ed.
Why don't you identify yourself?
I'm Gerald Lambert. I live just to the east.
You live right here?
Yes, sir, that property, and much beyond. Actually, on this drawing, they should show everybody's property around there, but, yeah, I'm 200 feet back, and that's 95 feet back.
Okay.
They show them right there. The way I see it is, what you've done with that little L shape is between two residences. That would be Coach Sonier's house, or...
Yeah, Gary.
Gary.
Gary goes on his south.
And he had to abstain himself from the planning and zoning because he's a next door neighbor. He runs right up the back of my house, which would be on the east side, just on the south side of that drawing right there. So that little L shape that they cut in there between Miss Mook's house is right between, right between Coach's house, front of Coach's house, Sonia's house. They should show, I guess, what I'm talking about here. If you have to carve a piece of property between two houses like that and give you enough square feet to build a residence in Brulee, as I understand it, then the lot's too small. And I don't know why the plan is on it, and I just got wind of it, but if you have to carve a piece of, why didn't you just run it straight from the road to the property line? Because they didn't have enough room to build a residence on. So they made that little L shape there, 30, 40, I don't know. I didn't do the math. I can't probably read this thing in the last language or not. And it's...
12.
This would be this 30 by whatever. If my math ain't, I mean, my math's not very good, and I can't see this very well, it's 30 by, I don't know, I think it's 900 square feet or something.
It says 12 by 17. This is 12.
12 by 17, that would be 20 by 20.
12 right here, 17 right there. That's what I think it says.
So much square footage, right?
Was it the square footage requirement?
Yeah, what happened was, in order to maintain 10 feet from the edge of Ms. Blanche's Ms. Ethel's existing house to the property line, there was this, to maintain 10 feet here, you drew this line straight across, you get less than 9,600 square feet of area. So what was done was a wedge was cut in here just to get up to the 9,600. The alternative would have been to get closer to Ms. Blanche's property and get a variance.
Yeah.
Either way, it's six or one half dozen of the other, the council would have to vote on something anyway.
So there's no requirement in the ordinance that your property be square?
No, there's no requirement that it be square.
I thought you had to be 9 degrees off the front.
No.
Okay,
no.
But in any case, if you look at my house, where it's going to be, I'm ready to put a rent house, which I expect both of them are, putting rental people in, my property value is going to go. Plus, I don't know how you can carve up people's land just to give them enough room. I just don't understand. I mean, I can do the same for my house, I guess. I got more room than they do. It just doesn't make sense to me that you, and I'll put this just on the record, I offered to buy that any part of that property so nobody would ever live there, and was turned down. The way I see it, rent house, my house, that's commercial property if you ask me. And I thought really wasn't supposed to be a commercial, especially next to my house. So if they put a rent house, rent sign up next to my house, I'm putting a for sale sign in front of mine. And I thought I'd retire there and live the rest of my life there. I don't understand the little... I had property in back Brulee, I could have built a house back there. If I'd have known this, I sure would have. And that's, I offered to buy the property for going back, no problem. Any part of it. so nobody would ever live right on my driveway, which is my bedroom, both my bedrooms, right there, so.
Okay, thank you.
I wish you'd have drawn it up where all the houses are around it, and you would see why you wouldn't.
Well, it's not, this is a plat just for the subdivision of the property, that's not typically done, but.
I know, and you don't want to start happening all the way up St. Francis.
Is there a house right there on the corner?
There's an apartment complex right here with six units.
Yeah, and that, actually, if it was to me, if I was the town of Brule, I'd knock that thing down, put a nice out there, and then we'd have a really good neighborhood all the way back.
Unfortunately, we can't just take property and knock it down.
But I don't have that option.
Yeah.
And I'm, see the part, the corner of that, the property line of Miss Luke's house, that's up by East St. Francis and Kirkland.
Yeah, right.
They have since did a widening of that, and that marker is in asphalt, I went and looked at it tonight.
Yep.
So can you own part of the road, or do you have to move the property back, the property thing back?
Sure can.
You can own part of the road?
They got people all up and down that river road that own, that actually own the river road.
No, I'm talking about by the city, I don't know who you are.
Well, we kinda getting off the subject, what we talking about here is a subdivision of this piece of property here into.
You're almost making that lot.
One and two.
And that lot smaller, I mean, okay, but you see my concern.
Yeah, I'm saying.
And why you doing that little job right there, that's between two houses now, that's not just, that's a house down there on this side.
Right.
Within, I would say, yeah, no more than 100 feet.
Okay.
Because the property's 95, I'm sure the coach is no more than 35, I think, so you look at it.
Does anybody else wish to comment on this plat?
I'll make a comment.
Thank you.
Come up, Scott, you gotta come to the microphone. But it's my understanding that you're going to buy the property from CGF if in fact it is subdivided.
Yes, sir, if it passes. The new lot where I'm planning on building the new house, it will not be for rent, it'll be for sale. I don't see how it's gonna bring your property value down, it's gonna be a nice house on a slab, brick stucco. I built this house twice in Addis. The second time, I sold it for more than I sold it the first time. So obviously, it's not bringing a property value down.
It's a business thing to you, though, it's not to me.
Yes, it is, I mean, yes, sir, it is.
Scott, say what you gotta say.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But anyway, the old house will be for rent, I'm gonna put a central unit in there, heating in there, paint it, fix it up a little bit, rent it. And like I said, the second life, I'm gonna build a house and sell it.
Thanks.
All right, anybody else have any comments, questions? Okay, counsel, you, Mr. Lambert, you had indicated that in an email to me that you wanted more time to research it.
I would like to, yeah.
The council basically has to say so whether it's on the agenda next week or not, and I don't hear any objection from them, we're gonna put it on the agenda now. Unless somebody says they wanna delay it. Well, it'll be on the agenda Monday night for vote, Monday the 10th, yes, right? Yeah, 10th. Okay, all right. The next item is number C, final plat of map showing subdivision of lots 1, 2, 3, 4. Be a portion of Hill and Rodriguez subdivision, town of Brule, for James Landis Abear. Mr. Abear has provided, on advice of council, the town's council, he provided me with a document that indicates that he's complying with the Ethics Commission in this case. It is his property, however, his son-in-law, where's,
right.
Hey, it's okay. Yeah. His son-in-law will be building in the back. As with the other one, this is the right-of-way, the access and utility servitude. He complies with that section of a house not running on a street. The town of Brule's administration has looked into it. He's asking for no variances. So as far as we're concerned, it's acceptable. Now, I would assume you don't want to discuss this, right?
I don't think I'm supposed to.
No. Okay, so anybody have any comments or questions or concerns, speak up. You see the
access coming off of a bow.
Yeah, coming off of that.
Where's the house going to be?
Coming off of a bow.
Right in here.
Crushed concrete?
Exactly.
In fact, the dirt's already
taken.
Right.
Taking four lots, making one.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So you're just, we're just taking these lines out.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And then Miss Jane lives right here, up here, is her house. And she has a great big tree right here.
So a lot in the
back. I think so, yeah.
So this empty lot, it's just a big tree. So he's going to be right kind of
right
behind that tree.
Right. This okay. is Skipper's house right here. You know,
that first house.
It used to be Swiss's house. But they're going to take this lot and turn it into H1.
And come,
these two are already existing, so they're going to stay like they are.
Right, so he's going to have access coming off this
one. Correct.
Right.
That's correct.
Okay.
That is
a nice piece of property.
That is beautiful.
He's just doing what that, what the Roth guy did where he raised the center line further up on the road on the right.
Right.
And remodeled two houses.
What, do you got anything you want to add to that?
No, Rick, y'all covered it all.
Sounds good to me.
I think we woke him up.
All right, that'll also be on the agenda for next Monday. All right. The next item is variance request for Ricky O. and Claudia L. Landry on mobile home ordinance, section 6 and 7. Across from the drugstore on Main Street, there's an old building there, and behind that old building, considerably back from the road, is a trailer. Ricky and Claudia want to replace that trailer, get rid of the old trailer, put a brand new trailer back there. In our ordinance, it says that that you're supposed to build a hard driveway that is no closer to the road than the trailer, something to that effect. It was drawn up that way in anticipation of people building a trailer right on the road where they're going to live. This thing is so far back, I mean, it's way in the heck back there, that really is not necessary. There's already a driveway going back. There's people living in the old trailer.
How far back would you guess?
Oh,
400 feet.
400 to the trailer?
Main Street.
That back is
400. The first lot is, I'm Ricky Landry, I own the property.
Okay. Yeah.
The first lot where the old building is 167 feet. Is 200 more feet to the trailer back on the second
floor. Yeah. And the second number 7 says that you're supposed to have a fence or some type of a boundary between you and the next door neighbor. Well, I think they've already got permission. They've already got boundaries. They got a graveyard across. They've got a fence in the back, and then the line between them and the Jackson family is so far back there. They don't have any objection. It's a bunch of trees and grass and stuff. So. That fence, I think you're planning to put one anyway.
Yeah,
but
I had a fence there and a hurricane took it. I still got all the posts.
Yeah.
I tore the fence down.
So I don't have, I just suggested them get a variance so you don't have to have a fence. It won't hold up the building permit. If they want to put one later, it's no problem. We, the town administration, recommends both variances. So any questions or comments we can talk about. We don't have a sketch because the property is real long and far, you know, like you said, several hundred feet from the road.
But they are putting a new trailer.
Put a brand new trailer.
Brand new.
And our ordinance also says that you comply with the latest codes as it relates to trailers after Katrina and all that. They're going to do all that. It's going to be it's going to be a brand new trailer. It'll be nice. Any questions or comments or discussion? Okay, we'll vote on that again Monday. All right. Next item: top three derelict buildings. There's not a lot of change, even though there's a lot of action. The one on Gwynn Street, Miss Angel Martin calls me every month and gives me an update, and I will read the update to you. They are waiting. The judge has it in his hands right now in West Baton Rouge to appoint a curator. There are two heirs that were kind of like dead or didn't sign. I can't remember all the details, but there was. Once the curator is assigned, then they'll be able to sign the paperwork. After they sign the paperwork, then they'll be able to sell the place, and whoever buys it has to tear it down. So it's moving slowly through the legal system. But she calls me every month and gives me an update, so I'm okay with that. West Main Street, that's the Lejeune property. It seems to me that they're doing fine. I guess he's going to come next week and give us another update. I didn't contact him, but the outside looks good, and I know they're working on the inside because I see stuff every night and come out of there. So that's moving forward. The house on Live Oak, 3658. I'm meeting with Brady Reshort tomorrow at 9 o'clock in my office. He received a letter from me last week that said that his His submittal for a building permit has been denied, and he can't have, get one unless he puts up a bond and has a contractor lined up to fix his house, because he's been, it's been a long time. He is going to, I'm sure, give me a letter tomorrow telling me that he's appealing it to the Board of Adjustments, in which case Ms. Bourgeois has to call a meeting and more will be discussed. But if he goes through that whole process and doesn't get any kind of a relief, then I fully intend to write him a letter and tell him that he has a derelict building and that he needs to do something about it. So that's why he's third on the list. I don't want to take him off until I get to the point where I have to. And that's all I have for those. So it hasn't changed much since last month. It's changed a little bit, but not much. Any questions or comments? Have we had a meeting since the Peru's tore down that building? It looks nice out there. Yeah. They just got to fix up and paint it.
Yeah, it was done by the
way. Yeah, okay. All right. Next item is, I just put ordinance number one, traditional neighborhood developments. I didn't, nobody's here to talk about it, and I don't want to talk about it. I did visit some developments in the Raleigh, Charlotte area while I was there, and I sure saw some ones that I wish I would look like, but, you know, we'll see.
Joey, I have a comment. Can I comment on the traditional?
Yes, ma'am. Now, we talk about the traditional. We're not talking about those townhomes.
Okay.
That's a difference. But you can comment anything you want.
Well, I mean, we just heard that there was a meeting tonight. We didn't know if it was going to be brought up. And we all live in Bruley Oaks.
Okay.
And we just wanted to get some, if this was anything to do with that piece of property right there.
Let me explain to you. I was going to talk about that in my mayor's report, but I'm going to talk to it about it now. And that way, y'all want to stay for the rest of the meeting if you want to.
Okay, that'd be great.
I met with Donnie Gyro, Jason Safford, and Jim Tatum, the engineer, last week. They were exploring possibilities of things they could do with that property. At the last Planning Commission meeting, they came up with a plat that added 52 additional townhouses. I basically told them at the time, and I told them again last week, that I'm not one of the council members, but I think they're dead on arrival if they try to get 52 more townhouses back there when they built 13 and only one of them sold. So they were exploring all kinds of discussions of what they could do with that property. Some zero lot lines and, you know, different things like that. At the last Planning Commission meeting, they asked to be put on the next Planning Commission meeting for a you know, discussion of that plat. I think they're either going to have they officially withdrawn it?
No, they have not. Okay, well, I have the public hearing set
out. All right. Well, then they're still on the agenda.
That will be on January the 23rd, I believe.
26th, right?
26th.
Is that the River Mill Reserve notice that you can put in the paper next week?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it would be the 26th, the fourth Wednesday, 26th of January. So they're up for discussion next time. So that would be the one that I think you're most interested in. Now, with regard to the traditional neighborhood development, the Harry Laws and Sinclair has done all kinds of studies of what they can do with that property. And one of the things that they think they want to do is a traditional neighborhood development. We don't even have a zone for that right now. So they're asking the council to consider a zoning classification called traditional neighborhood development. Now, at some future date, let's say it would pass. Let's just say, for example, that would become a zoning option in the town. Before they could even build one, there would be a public hearing because they have to have that property rezoned to do that. So it was my suggestion at the time, let's talk about traditional neighborhood developments a lot before we even put in the zoning code, see if we even want that. So we're in that process right now. When you're doing something that's zoning, it requires a lot of advertisement, so it's probably not going to be officially considered until the March meeting, right? Isn't that what we decided?
Yeah.
So
the definition of that?
It's about that long.
It's a mixture.
Sounds pretty.
It's a mixture of all kinds of uses together, commercial, apartments, townhouses, single-family dwellings, big houses, little houses,
restaurants, stores.
It's kind of like if you go. It's kind of like if you go to one of these, it's like Disneyland or something. It's so, you know, the coffee shops, people walk everywhere, and the streets are narrow, and people walking down the streets with their balloons in their hand. I mean, it's really, well, I'm sorry. And the best thing I can tell y'all is that we have a disc in there that there's a big old document, this thick, like that, that kind of describes all that stuff. And we got a disc. I got one for each one of the council members. We'd be happy to give y'all one to kind of get an idea what this thing is all about. You know, it's...
And that's going to be across St. Francis?
Yeah, well, basically, the beginning of it would be wrapped around that corner of St. Francis and LeBeau to take advantage of the school being there and kind of like in that corner. I mean, in that area.
Oh, so we're talking about across the...
Oh, yeah, just outside their subdivision entrance.
Where the field is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Part of it would be in the field. Part of it would be out there where that oak tree is. Part of it would be, you know, just wrapped around that area.
So they're not talking about what's going on behind the shopping center?
No, behind the shopping center is Donnie Gyro's property, and that's one group. Sinclair is completely different.
Yeah.
Group.
Okay.
Completely different. And they don't have any relationship with each other that I'm aware of.
But Gyro and his group are still investigating.
Right.
That area behind the shopping center.
That's correct.
Okay, that's what we needed to know. So we all need to be here on the 26th?
I'm going to be here. Yeah, I'm going to be here.
Well, Joey, all the rest of the condos, you said he sold one?
That's
one.
It.
He built 13, he sold one.
Wasn't an agreement with the town? I'm just hearsay.
No.
Could not rent?
Someone suggested that and voted no against all of the town owners, but that agreement never came to pass.
He was pressured to write that down, and he didn't want to do that, to tie his hands. But I can tell you, every one of the council members wanted him to, you know, write it down, and he didn't. So that's going to be a big factor in his approval or disapproval the next time.
So he can rent. He's renting what he has there.
Yeah, he's renting 12 out of
them.
He's renting all of them except one. Well, he's trying to rent all. Not all of them are rented, but they're in and out of being rented. You know,
and
I know I've talked to the people there.
And he sold them all, and the people that bought them were renting them.
I don't know.
Anyway, that's where we're at on that. So it's kind of a little bit confusing because they're both in that general area, but they're kind of like different from each other. They're
a lot different.
So that's where we're at on that.
All right, thanks.
That's all.
And just to be clear, that the March thing, what you were talking about, is the second development, Sinclair
T&D
property. Right.
But that's not actually the zoning hearing. That's actually just to see if we even want to put the ordinance
to
in.
To even get it to.
Even to have an option
point.
To do that. You know?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, if you don't have any questions, just call me. I mean, this thing is, you know, I do this all day, and it's a lot clearer to me than it is somebody just, you know, getting pieces of it. Just call me, and if y'all want to have a homeless association meeting, and I can go over the whole thing, and it would explain it a little bit better. I'd be happy to do that.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Finance Committee reviewed the December bills. December bills. Anybody have questions or comments on the bills? For your information, I've asked Patricia to explore completely changing the way we look at bills so we can sort them by admin, maintenance, other, and police, and then also sort them by money amount within those sorts and then put the description of them rather than just the vendor. We're going to try to get the report where it's a lot easier to read.
Rather than check number, sort it a different way.
But what Patricia was telling me is that SIMA's not like if you had an access based program, you go write your own program.
It can,
but they're gonna look into it and see what they can do. But it needs to be better. Yeah, I got a cheat sheet, so Debbie fixes me up on what this stuff is. I don't remember it anyway. All right.
On the second page, about halfway down, Bayou Country Sportsman, $742.
Ammo?
Ammunition.
No, not ammo. Ammo. Fissionized is, I don't know if I even should say it. Discussed it earlier, but that is 1,000 bullets, which we can get them cheaper. It's kind of $2 for the town of business locally. You know, keep an eye tax out of here. Maybe say when we order in quantity, it'll be outsourced and make some down from there.
Anybody else? All right.
Almost a dollar.
Investment report. Anybody have any questions about the investment report? No questions? No comments?
Does anybody know where I can find that interest?
Yeah. Do we have any volunteers?
Go back in time and get a longer term.
Yeah, we've already talked about that. Let's not talk about it anymore. All right. The next item under personnel, I just wanted to bring this to everybody's attention because Wayne brought it to my attention. The maintenance department has had significant improvement in their sick hours, which I fully believe is a function of morale and Wayne being there. But if you see in the 2008, we had 276 and a half hours lost. In 2009, 152, and this year, 106 and a half, which is a trend that's very good. Good for our insurance, it's good for our productivity, it's good for everything. So when y'all see the guys, the maintenance guys around, I always encourage y'all to just say, hey guys, y'all doing a good job. They really appreciate it. These guys work hard and they really appreciate it when you thank them.
They do. I'll tell you what, they do anything they can to help you.
Yeah, they do. They're a good
job. So when did Wayne come to work here?
September of 2008.
Go stop.
September. Yeah.
The end of that month?
Yeah. Well, I guess probably. Yeah, about October maybe. Yeah, I mean October.
It was October.
Yeah, it was October.
Yeah. September, you brought that letter to us.
Yeah, September.
It would have had to be October.
Yeah. Shane pointed out that.
Well, he showed what, 2009?
08, your June and July months.
It was 40 in the
or two of your highest.
It was 40 in the
sick time. I'm only doing all the 2 years and happened during right. My 2 years.
I told her I'd sit up here and live.
That's right.
But you can see in the summer months now, it's very, very low.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
back.
And that's when we need them the most.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, I thought y'all would be interested in that.
Okay. Just a note on the police personnel. Jeremy advised me today he did get his position with Baton Rouge City.
So you'll be looking for. Are you going to have a recommendation by next week?
I hope to. I didn't get Jeremy's thing till today. I'd like to see if maybe Ms. Joanne would like to. I have a prospect. Mr. Wayne would be available. I have his matrix and all of that good stuff. Yeah, it's
the guy we called the pup?
No, this is another guy from that guy. I never even went to take it. This guy applied after our last advertisement. He was employed in Crouch Springs and just had a new chief come in.
Oh, yeah, that was on the news.
Well, actually, they tell me the little guy spoke on the news. I didn't see it to see if he was professional or unprofessional.
Right,
spring.
And they lost
everybody.
Really?
It's one of the theories where, and I don't know if it took place or not, but I know when I came to work, everybody was like, oh, we heard you firing everybody. All these guys quit for it. You've got this guy, he applied. It's been a few months ago, and he called. Is it possible? Is it possible? I didn't want to set anything up until Jeremy gave me a definitive answer. But he does have the position, and he's going to give us a notice. His last day will be sometime in late January, but I figured it would work out, you know, if we do have a recommendation by next week to get the guy in and have him trained and ready to step in.
Indeed, I want to get the guy that spoke on TV.
From what Ned told me, I didn't catch it on the news.
Yes, he had one of the guys.
He's the only one that's been there for the past couple of months. He stayed there with the old chief. All the rest of them drug up before. So that says a little bit about him to me, I guess. We'll see. I'd like to get some.
Just give me a call, Danny, whenever you see
okay.
that. Okay.
We'll sit down. And of course, the mayor.
Well, I know the mayor. The outgoing mayor. In fact, he's not the mayor now. Yeah, I know the outgoing. I think might be able to give you.
That'd be great too. So we shall see. And by the way, Jeremy's not leaving because he's unpleased. You get accepted in Baton Rouge, it's about a $30,000 a year pay raise.
Yeah.
I don't blame him one bit for going.
You can't ever be upset
with that.
You know, these huge problems, whether it be state police or Baton Rouge City.
Yeah, that's
you know, much better. You're welcome them back and open arms if they ever want to come back.
Absolutely.
And let you train them too, Philip.
Hey.
Let's just.
Jeremy tried before, grass was greener at LSU, and he came back. He realized it wasn't because the money wasn't what. But
if I had a people favorite company, hire a police officer, I'd have a lot of it.
All right. Top three do. Oh, I'll skip some.
Recreation.
Do we have any recreation?
Wrestling team. I don't know how they're doing. I know they're in full swing.
They really wrestling tournaments this Saturday.
Yeah.
Our tournament.
Baseball and all that stuff. Basketball, they play tonight.
All right. Police committee. Top three nuisances.
Yes. No new movement since the last meeting. That's what I have on there. Letters will be actually the letters.
Well, Jerry Roby put a fence in front of his car.
Yeah.
They got a piece of fence with about five blanks.
There's still another vehicle there that does not comply to the white truck.
All right.
That letter and a letter to.
Order in the council.
Can we leave the calls? Get rid of
the letter to 1138/1146 West Main will be going out tomorrow. Possibly the one to 752. I have a question for Tom on that one. So I'm unable to get to the VIN numbers on it.
On West Payne, that truck.
You're entitled to go on the property and get the.
Oh yeah, we can go on the property, but I'm not unsure about they have them blocked off with something. I'm unsure as to whether or not we can move the certain.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can look.
You have full authority
to get the VIN number.
Okay.
That's in furtherance of your enforcement order.
That letter will be going out tomorrow too.
That's the Bynum deal?
The Bynum's, the VIN number on that particular vehicle, the brown one.
One of them's the truck now.
That one is just about to, that one wasn't included when we started this go round because it was on the road. So we'll be another go round over there with that one.
Okay. He says he's going to get the motor fixed.
If you need to do a search warrant on him to get it, you're fully entitled to do that.
And actually, on the vehicle, you don't have to have it. Type stuff. I just want to make sure
you're entitled to put a search warrant on it because that's enforcing the law.
Okay. Well, that one will go out tomorrow too. The other two are typed up, ready to go, pictures included. They'll actually be hand delivered if we can catch them home, and we'll do the affidavits and have some resolution to that. If they want to appeal, they can come next week. They'll definitely have 5 days if we can get them served tomorrow.
Oh, by the way, if Brady Richard actually gives me a letter tomorrow saying that he wants to appeal to the Board of Adjustments, do y'all want to have that at 6 o'clock Monday?
Is there a fire meeting?
Fire meeting.
Oh, there's a fire
meeting. Do it after.
If we receive any appeals on these.
Got a big football.
Yeah.
When would y'all care to hear?
Huh?
If we receive any appeals on these vehicles, when would you?
Landon's just pointed out that's BCS championship.
I mean, I'm trying to say.
Let's come early. How early can y'all come?
Yeah, but the fire meeting, is there anything major in the fire meeting? We'd probably do the fire meeting at 6. Do
6:15.
6:15. Or upon conclusion.
But you know.
I think Brady's going to last a while.
Brady does not.
You will take
a short period of time.
No, you need a half hour for
the
Brady. But there's nothing that says we have to have the fire district meeting at 6.
We changed the meeting time till 6 o'clock, but why not change it back to 5:30 this one time and give him more time?
We'll tell Brady to be here at 5:30 for the fire district meeting, and the board of adjustment will immediately follow. Is that okay with everyone?
Yeah.
Sorry, is that too early?
Well, it's only after the break.
Yeah.
When would you like, if there?
He's appealed.
Mr. Robig, if he does appeal, is pretty long-winded also.
Well, that's not a board of adjustments, that's a council appeal.
Okay, so that's.
So that, we just put it on the agenda. But they need to notify us that they do want to appeal.
Right, I'm just saying that they happen to.
All right.
Yeah, but they're not gonna get the letter in enough time to be able to do that.
Five days?
Yeah, why don't we just do it next month?
Put it next month.
It's not like it's critical.
Yeah.
Brady, we need to get his going.
Yes.
If he wants to do a district court.
I'll put these till,
All right. Government affairs.
Yeah, I have one thing.
All right.
Kevin Durbin's office, planning, the parish is hosting the state, Louisiana State Chapter of the American Planning Association Conference, Annual Conference. And, he asked if we would, present one of the sessions by having, 25 attendees from the conference come over here to Brule to see how we, hear us tell how we set up our landmark and heritage, commission. And he had, the title of that workshop will be The Town of Brule, A Lesson in Preserving Our History. So, Mary Ann and I will do that, we'll take them on a tour and show them how the historical homes are interwoven.
That's good.
The new homes.
That's great.
And come back here and let, give them copies of our.
When is that?
January 21st, 1:30 in the afternoon, if anything is available. We'd be glad for y'all to come.
What day of the week is that?
Friday.
Friday, the 21st.
Would you send us Thursday?
Yeah.
Yeah, send us something.
What time, Mr. Ray?
1:30. We're gonna do the tour of Brule first at 1:30, so we won't get to the budget a bit later. Cause the little tour will take about 30 minutes on the sheriff's bus.
Yeah, send us all an email on Monday, son. Other matters, I don't have any other matters. The, mayor's report, the Live Oak West generator is going the path, has been going the path of the aerators. And that is, they just don't work. It doesn't sink into our pumps. So, I made arrangements for Randy Gautreau, who's an electrical engineer, to meet us out there because I wanted somebody who, a real electrical engineer, to look at it. But we get out there and the guy who installed it says, well, we can't run the generator. I said, why not? He said, well, there's this little black box that don't work, and that's the problem. So I got sick of it, and I called a guy. His last name is Blumen. He's not related to anybody in Brule. He's the general manager for, what's the name of those generators? Whatever the name of the generator.
Generators.
And I told him, I said, look, I'm tired of listening to all these stories about, you know, the vendor says you're doing something, and you know, he said, well, we don't want any of our customers to be unhappy. So they coming out tomorrow to change a part, pull a part, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he told me, the general manager told me, he's going to make this up done right. I'm tired of it. It's just, you know, it's BS. But anyway, so supposedly I'm reaching the highest person up, and if that don't work, we're going to get into the letter business. You know, he ain't got no choice. But this guy is a big wheel. He's not one of these excuse makers. And he agrees with me. They make too many generators for you to tell me that the generator's bad.
Right.
Yeah, and our pumps run fine when we plug in our portable generator that we've been using for 100 years. So there's some little diode or relay or something between them that ain't talking to something. And, you know, it ain't that complicated, but nobody wants to step up and say this is what it is. Well, he's going to take care of it. Anyway, and all I did, that's all I got. Mark's a personal privilege. Our crowd went down, though. But
I want to express my appreciation to Debbie and the council.
Did we cover that in the bills?
Can we get that as a continuum? I would either give this to Shane and Fish because they expressed so much concern over the years, or to Beth Bourgeois to
put it in the continuum. You can put that right next to my smartphone.
We can't accept anything of value.
There is no value.
We
have all those papers in there.
Yeah.
Not all of them, no.
Some of them are
the leaf. I combined the other three of these.
That has to be the ugliest folder I've ever seen. I didn't realize that was the ugliest folder I've ever seen. Fish, if there is a lower limit on the donation thing, he has reached it.
You ought to get on board and make a commercial for whoever makes those funds.
Oh, man.
Like a truck
$500,000. Anybody else? Nobody can top that one, I don't think. All right. Announcements. Town Hall will be closed on January 17th for Civil Rights Day. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Move.
Move, Mr. Stone. Second by Mr. Andre. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right.
Okay.
Now, that is